Welcome to the Tech Hire Participant Voices podcast series. As part of the Department of Labor Tech Hire Partnership Grant, 39 community colleges, workforce development boards, and nonprofits from across the country spent the last 4 years developing tech-focused training programs geared toward individuals with barriers to employment, including youth, returning citizens, and individuals with disabilities. In this 5-part podcast series, Tech Hire participants and alumni share their experiences with Tech Hire and insights into what makes a quality workforce training program.
We are Krista Ford and Lee D'Amica, JFF staffers and Tech Hire technical assistance team members. On today's episode, we'll be talking to Joel from State Technical College of Missouri. State Tech of Missouri's Tech Hire program, otherwise known as MoSTART, focuses on supportive training pathways and expanded employment opportunities within the IT and manufacturing industry.
Hi, Joel. Thank you so much for making the time to join us today. We're really excited to speak with you. I'd love to start off by just learning a little bit more about you.
Okay. My name is Joel. I live in Missouri here. I've been married about 25 years as a background, so I'm not your average student. I have two kids that are actually out of college and married, both of them. So I'm a little bit older than the normal student you would talk to. Live in Moberly, Missouri, so I drive about 100 miles each direction every day for school.
That's excellent. And 100 miles, that's dedication. Can you tell us a little bit more about where you are currently in your Tech Hire journey? Have you completed or are you still enrolled?
I have a year and a half is done so far. I have one more semester left. We're going to try to finish it up next semester and have it done by graduation. That way I can get I get a certificate at the end of the program. So that's a good thing for my resume, I assume. So that's where I'm at. I've got one more semester left.
That's excellent. You're really close. And what are you studying in the Tech Hire program?
So I'm actually going to school for the HVAC program in refrigeration here at State Tech. I've been learning a lot about three-phase electricity, motor starters, electrical work. I've also been learning a little extra of the HVAC stuff.
That's excellent. Talk a little bit about how you heard about the Tech Hire program and how you got started.
When we got into school, our teacher, Ben, he came out and talked to us about the Tech Hire program and said there was a availability to learn a little bit of extra stuff. It's kind of a maintenance Tech Hire module is what I'm in. So he came out and he explained everything. He said, we'll be doing some extra training stuff. We'll be doing extra time. You'll have to come in a little bit earlier, you know, or stay later, whichever you want to do. But it's all, you know, free to the student, which is a bonus for me. I like to learn and get extra knowledge. So he explained it to me and then we started working on it. And then we've been going through it for the last year and a half.
That's awesome. Can you talk a little bit about what the enrollment process was like, you know, once you decided, okay, this sounds great. You know, I really trust the resource who's telling me about this program and I'm excited. What was it like when you enrolled? Was that process in person or was it virtual? And maybe like what you liked the most about that enrollment process?
That was me. Like I say, I'm not your average student, a little bit older. So I like the one-on-one in-person type of thing. So we filled out forms in our class. He came up, did a presentation, and then he handed out forms. Whoever's interested, sign this form, you know. And so that's what I did. Signed up. It was pretty simple. It took 5 minutes to sign up. I think he copied our license or something just to verify who we were. It was pretty straightforward.
Awesome. That's great. Were there any aspects of the enrollment process you wish were different or any changes you would have made and thinking about, you know, future or prospective Tech Hire students who are going through the enrollment process?
The only thing I can see with the students coming out of high school, they're going to be more to the online, hey, register me for this before I start school or bring me some information before I start class. You know, when I sign up, that way I'm already enrolled and ready. So maybe something, if you could do something with the actual school to get something out when they're registering, hey, you're interested, you're going to do this degree, maybe you'd be interested in this Tech Hire program, get some extra learning in too. So that's the only thing I might change about it.
Yeah, that's great insight. Thank you for that. You know, in thinking a little bit more broadly about recruitment, I'm curious to know what your thoughts are around, you know, what is good or effective recruitment, especially for people like yourself who have a background in advanced manufacturing or the manufacturing industry. You know, you come to the Tech Hire program with a lot of experience under your belt. And I'm wondering if you have any recommendations around what good recruitment looks like to meet folks like yourself who come to the table with experience in the industry.
The only thing I think of is maybe getting the credentials, like for the OSHA training. That's part of it. You know, they need to have that in their background. Some of the other stuff that go along with, like HVAC. I know I have to have refrigeration stuff, maybe something with that.
Awesome. And then my last question for you, and, you know, in hearing about what you really liked about the enrollment process, you know, sounds like you're a very hands-on learner. Are there any recommendations you have for employers who might be interested in working with Tech Hire partners and, you know, recruiting Tech Hire alumni? Any advice for them in terms of how they can best support Tech Hire alumni in their workspaces?
I know one thing that Ben does, he was an instructor. He goes out and talks to the employers, actually. So there may be more need to get out and talk to different employers, see what kind of experience they're looking for. What do they want them to learn when they come out of this program? What would benefit them the best? That way, you know, hey, this guy here or gal is suited to go to this type of company. So let's specialize in this, or let's go this other way for this other guy or gal, because they need to specialize in that. This will help them out better.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Krista. I'm going to pass it over to you.
Sure. And Joel, that's a really good point about just aligning the curriculum with the employer's needs. And actually, it's a great segue. I wanted to dig a little bit more into your experience with specifically the training component of the program. So I'm wondering, were most of your courses online, or did you mostly take classes there in person at the college?
For the first year and a half, I took them here at the college, or mostly a year and a half. We used the trainers, the virtual helmets, stuff like that a little bit. We did three-phase electricity. We did some circuitry. We did a little bit of HVAC stuff, some pulley systems, a bunch of different trainers to work with. And that gave me a benefit. Now, when the COVID hit, we tried to go offline or online and do some of it. But where I live out in the country, I didn't have the strongest Wi-Fi, so I couldn't use the virtual helmets as much as we had hoped. So... but online, we just did, we used some of the simulators and stuff like that we had. But for some reason, the helmet, the Wi-Fi signal wasn't strong enough for it to work.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. Kind of on that same note, I'm curious, do you have any advice for training providers who might be trying to teach students who live in rural areas remotely? Is there anything that would have made that experience, that transition to remote learning, a little smoother for you?
I don't know if it was that really the hardest. We need to get the technology out in the rural areas, maybe. Like right now, if I would have gone a year later, I would have it because they're running fiber out towards my house now. So the ability to get that fiber all across the rural country would be a big help. I know it's a lot faster internet. Like I think I downloaded 3 megabytes per second through my Wi-Fi, where this is going to be 100 megabytes, where it'll be just fine and work perfect for that stuff. So that'd be my biggest focus, was trying to get that technology out there.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And kind of continuing on this remote learning theme, you mentioned earlier that you really prefer to learn in person and you really enjoy hands-on learning. And so I'm wondering if you have any advice for educators or advice for students who are more like you and prefer to be in person but are having to kind of grapple with online learning right now.
My biggest thing would be probably to make sure you stay up with technology the most you can. I've been lucky enough to have other jobs in my past where I've worked with computers and building computers, putting more memory in them. Just keep up with technology so you can keep up with the times, because they are changing. Technology is going a long way. There is a lot of online learning out there. So just as much as you can, keep up with anything you can.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I'm kind of curious, before you all transition to online learning, what was your in-classroom experience like? Maybe what was the best part of that for you?
The best part of the in-class experience I had is I got to know, like, say, Ben, he's my instructor. I got to know him a lot better one-on-one. It wasn't 50 kids around or 25 kids or students, I should say, sorry. It wasn't a big crowd. It was more one-to-one learning. So you got to know your instructor better. You got to build a professional relationship with him. So that was a big help to me.
Yeah, it sounds like that relationship building was really critical to your success.
Yeah, my opinion it is, but that's just my opinion.
Outside of that relationship building and being able to get that support in person, Did you have any other kind of big takeaways or lessons learned around just navigating the Tech Hire program that you would share with other participants?
I think the biggest thing was being able to, you know, realize stuff I didn't see before that I can see now. Ben, again, was really good about going and say, hey, did you look at this, though? You know, you're looking at one thing, you got focused on one thing. He's like, but you got to think outside the box. So that helped me, you know, a little bit there, too.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was really helpful. And I think the next thing that we'd like to dig into, and I'm going to pass it over to Lee for this, is we'd just like to learn a little bit more about supports that you might have engaged with outside the classroom. So that could be things like tutoring, advising, or even job placement services. So I'll pass it to you, Lee, to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, thanks, Krista. So Joel, as Krista already mentioned, we're curious to know if Mostart was able to offer any supportive services that you enjoyed tapping into or really helped or are helping you right now in terms of being in the Tech Hire program. And Krista already mentioned, you know, tutoring, any academic support. It sounds like your instructors are really helpful and supportive. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, as far as instructors, like I say, just the stuff I said before, Ben was really helpful about coming in and working with you one-on-one, spend the extra time that's needed to learn that. But it also helped me gain skills where I can go out and find a job later, you know. The people that are up here in the grant office, they've been excellent help, too. So, you know, bounced some stuff off of them. Alex and all them up here has been a big information type thing. If I had a question, I'd come up here and they could answer it. No problem. They wouldn't like, oh, I don't have time for you. You know, some places you go, it's like, well, I don't have time to help you with this. Sorry. Let me find somebody that can, but never get back to you. But if I come up here and talk to them, they would, you know, immediately, yeah, let me do what I can do to help you out.
Absolutely. That's awesome to hear. And you kind of touched lightly on, you know, preparing for job interviews or job placement or just job skills, job search skills in general. Was that or is that a big aspect of Mostart's student support? You know, have you been able to tap into some job search help or maybe talk to us a little bit about that in terms of them helping you prepare for the workforce?
Yeah, they have offered. They haven't started on yet, but they're offering to help me with my resume to put make sure I got all the skills that I've learned in this program. They have all the information of what I've worked with, so they'll be able to use them to help me build my resume to find a job. The big plus was is that with me being employed right now, I didn't have to pay for it. They didn't have to borrow any money to go through this program. So that was a big plus too.
That's great. You talked a little bit earlier about tech support and tech access in rural areas, which is such an important issue. And I'm really glad you highlighted it. Were there any supports you were able to tap into or other students are tapping into right now from Mostart around stronger tech access now that we're all kind of navigating remote and virtual settings?
The virtual help would have helped if I had, like, say, the fiber, the broadband. I didn't really have to tap into anything. We just figured out, you know, hey, the helmets wouldn't work out here because of this Wi-Fi signal's not strong enough. Everything was shut down, so I couldn't, you know, like, you could normally go to a library or something like that and use their Wi-Fi. It wouldn't be a big deal, but the COVID did, I just didn't have the opportunity to go anywhere either for that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess my last question around student support, Joel, is just, is there anything you'd recommend to like other programs similar to Mostart in terms of services they should offer students to help them through the program?
Like I say, I think the biggest thing that would help is get them interested at the beginning of their degree, get that tied up with their criteria for their degree. Think of what classes would work best to give them an extra.
Awesome. All right, Krista, I'll pass it back to you.
Perfect. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the role of technology in the workplace. And I know you have, plenty of experience in the manufacturing space. Could you tell us a little bit about how you've seen technology maybe change the nature of your work over time?
Well, let me tell you about a past job. I used to be a lead tech specialist at a job, and I programmed what they call born units. It's a keeps track of machine efficiency. That was a big change that we had in our factory. I was there for 14 years. You got a lot of people that used to figure the efficiencies manually, and then they wouldn't agree with them. But once we tied those computers in, I used to program them, and it would show them what their efficiencies were, and that was just a big screen, you know, that's mounted up above their machine. So, I mean, who would have thought you could see what your efficiency was, how much you're producing, how much time you've been down. I mean, that's just a big deal. There's a lot of computer stuff out there on the lines now he's using. In another job we used Raspberry Pis, which was a new thing to keep track of how long your cycle times were, get their input out to help us, you know, write with our new SOPs and stuff. How much time should it take to do this job? How much time are you taking? So they can kind of see and have a comparison. So technology is really coming into everywhere. It's not just the field I'm going into right now is HVAC. My son, he's in HVAC as well. He showed me that you got to program these boards with your smartphone when you put in a new unit now. So you got to have a computer or a smartphone to be able to get HVAC system to even start up. So that's how much technology is playing place in this stuff.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It sounds like a lot of processes are being automated. And I really like that you mentioned, using smartphones to kind of help program some of the equipment. And on that note, I'm kind of curious, are there other kind of technical skills like that or supports that you think would be kind of helpful for workers to be able to be successful in this new tech-focused economy?
I didn't have to take my gen eds here at college, so I don't know what they did. If they had computer-based classes where they can learn how to, you know, something simple as surfing the web, most people know how to do that now, have it tied where they can learn how to do spreadsheets on the computer and learn how to do different types of stuff that employers need. Again, go back to your employer and see, hey, is there any specialized training that would help this person get a job that we need to teach in our college, which they do. I think they go back quite a bit. But that'd be my biggest thing, is just make sure your technology ties with what's going on in the future, because it gets outdated so quick and it's no good anymore. By the time you learn something, well, it may not be used anymore. So just make sure you keep focused on latest technology that you can get.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Just keeping up with employer needs and then making sure that the technology you're using is really future facing and forward thinking. And kind of along those lines, I'm curious to know how the tech hire program that you're participating in is preparing you to keep up with the rapidly changing labor market. Is there anything that you've been learning that you feel is super relevant or will be helpful for you as you transition into the labor market?
As far as the technology, I mean, you almost spend quite a bit of money on the trainers and stuff that comes in there. I mean, you're always going to have equipment like what they're teaching with the electricity. They're always going to have that same kind of electricity. Doesn't ever really go wireless like you would think Wi-Fi and internet does. So, I mean, they've been staying pretty much on top of the technology with the trainers that y'all bought. It helped us out quite a bit.
That's excellent. And then in terms of things that are super helpful for participants to be able to be successful in the tech hire program, I know you mentioned the importance of relationship building and being able to work with your instructors one-on-one. You mentioned making sure that the curriculum is aligned to employers' needs. And you mentioned the importance of kind of keeping up with technology and making sure that the software and the equipment that you're using is up to date and modern. And I'm curious if you have any other kind of key takeaways that you'd like to share that we maybe haven't touched on yet.
I think my biggest thing is don't focus on one thing. Keep your mind outside the box, you know. Look for other things that you can learn. Like I say, just don't concentrate on one thing. Make sure you learn as much as you can while you do it.
Yeah, that's excellent advice. And so kind of to close us out, I'm curious to know what's next for you. How has participating in your tech hire program affected your long-term career goals?
I'm a long-term career goal. I'm getting, like I say, older as I go. But me and my son, my brother used to do HVAC as well. So me and him and my brother were talking about maybe starting up a company of our own to do heating and cooling. We're not sure where that's going to go to, I don't think I'll have a problem finding a job anywhere. As far as the HVAC refrigeration field, there's always a demand for it. So I'm pretty excited to get done with it and see what is out there. I know they will help us look for jobs in the spring. In February, they have a job fair that helps us out. So always look for different opportunities out there besides what you think you might be going into.
Yeah, that's excellent. You've got big plans for the future. Definitely wish you the best as you kind of wrap up your last semester here and start to think about the labor market. Lee, any other questions or anything you wanted to add?
No, I think this has been great, Joel. We've really learned a lot from you and your experience. So thank you so much for taking time to speak with us.
Thank you for giving me the time to visit with y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Hire Participant Voices podcast series. Please be sure to check out our other podcast episodes found on Workforce GPS. For more information on the Tech Hire Partnership Grant, please visit www.doleta.gov.